What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and to lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining, and we hope you enjoy.
Are y'all ready for a good night tonight? I love you guys so much. Can we give it up for Jesus real quick? I don't know about you, but I am ready for his word tonight. I've got a short story to share with you guys. I have been blessed by hearing some anointed, gifted, talented, incredible young men and women share with us tonight. And I know God wants to bless one of them, but all of them at the same time. But one of them is going to walk away with $1,000. But I believe because of the gift of God that's in them, all of us are going to benefit from us, from their talent. Amen. So tonight, I'm going to pray, and we're going to have an incredible, just short time in his word. And we're going to find the results out real soon, and it's going to be a good night. Y'all ready? Let's bow our hearts real quick and prepare our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us all together in this awesome place. God, I thank you for all the incredible students that are in this room, all the families that are represented. God, I pray that tonight not only would we enjoy good music and be entertained by people who are so much more talented than some of us are. God, I pray that tonight your word would penetrate into the depths of our soul. And God, you would do something special in each of our lives tonight. Have your way in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. This past Sunday, my family had an opportunity after church. We all got in the car and we drove to a place called the Rock Ranch. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's this really cool outdoor playground, basically. There's a corn maze. Chick-fil-A runs it. It's a family-friendly atmosphere. They literally have so much stuff. There's this huge bounce pillow that you can bounce on like a trampoline. They have transformed a fire truck and the ladder that is normally on a fire truck. They turned the ladder into a cannon that catapults pumpkins with air pressure. It's ridiculous. There's a pasture full of cows, and they shoot the pumpkin into the pasture, and the cows literally start moving to the pumpkins to eat the pumpkins. It's crazy. And so there's this stuff there that is like an insurance nightmare. Because it's all outdoor, like, climb on stuff and be dangerous, right? And it was such a cool experience. My kids had so much fun. I had fun. And when I got back home, I noticed that I had, and it's still there. I know you can't see it, but it's this splinter in the very tip of my middle finger on my dominant right hand. And guys, I don't know if you, can y'all feel my pain for a minute? Have you ever had a splinter right on the tip of your finger? I tried to remove it. That's the first thing I did. It was big at first. And so I got some of it out, but I couldn't get all of it out. And so I began to notice, I started being a real big baby. Can I just be, I'm honest. I started being a baby. The next day, so Monday, my daughter Sophia, she has this habit. She hasn't seen me for 2 minutes, but she sees me and she's like, oh, Daddy. And she runs. Yes, it is very cute. And she runs and she jumps into my hands and expects Daddy to lift her up, give her a kiss. And I say, Sophia, you're always Daddy's princess. You're so beautiful. And it's all the time. That's what she wants. And so she looked at me and she's like, Daddy. And she runs and she jumps and I grab her. And as soon as I pick up her weight and begin to put pressure with my hand, I'm like, ah, that hurts. Like it's a splinter. What's my problem? Y'all, I'm a baby. Y'all feel my pain. Y'all act like y'all haven't done this before. Today I was literally in the office doing some paperwork and I'm writing with a pen. This is how I'm just weak. I'm writing with a pen, signing my name, and I get to this angle when I'm signing my name, and it's like, oh, I don't ever want to write again. Or I'm typing and literally I don't want to hit the letters that I use my middle finger to hit on the keyboard because every time I'm like, oh, oh, ow. And it hurts. It's still there. I don't want to do anything inappropriate to you guys right now because it's my, but it's still, it's right there. And I share this silly story tonight. I really believe that tonight God wants us to realize that our problems, no matter how big or how small, have a way of reminding us that they are there even when we're trying to look beyond them. Our problems, life struggles, the difficulty of life, man, they always find a way to remind us that they're with us. Amen? Even when we're trying to move on, even when we're trying to move past them, our struggle, our problems, our difficulties, they always find a way to remind us that they're there. And tonight I'm confident that all of us in this room are facing some problems in our lives that are much more serious than a silly splinter. And so tonight I want to share a story from God's word that should give you hope if you're dealing with something tonight. Especially if you're facing something terrible tonight. Jesus wants to help us. Jesus wants to intervene and be our ever-present help in time of need. Our problems are constantly nagging at us, trying to keep our attention. But I believe tonight Jesus wants to receive our attention. I believe he wants to capture our focus. He wants to help us realign our focus off of life's struggles and onto him. Off of the things that are trying to drag us down and keep us under. And he wants to lift us up and give us hope and give us strength. Is that okay with you tonight? So tonight, if you've got your Bibles, the Gospel of Mark shows us a story about a man who has this life-changing problem. And as a father, I can't imagine what this must have felt like. And this father comes to Jesus, and this is a situation we're approaching Halloween, and it's very spiritual, it's very supernatural. And this man comes to Jesus in Mark chapter 9, and it's a situation that none of us would hope for. It says it in verse 17, a man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I brought to you my son who is possessed by a spirit. It has robbed him of his speech. My son is mute. Whenever it seizes him, the evil spirit throws him to the ground. My son foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid." And Jesus, just listen to the desperation in this man's voice. "Jesus, I asked your disciples to drive out this evil spirit, but they could not." There wasn't a lot of hope in this man's situation. Demonic possession is nothing small. And this was a huge problem. The first thing I want to point out to us tonight from this story is the man said to Jesus, "I asked your friends, I asked your disciples to fix the problem, but they could not." The first point that we need to walk away with tonight is our friends can help us with some situations, but we all face problems in life that only Jesus can handle. Man, your friends can help in some situations. But all of us in this room are faced with trials and tribulations and difficulties that if we are honest with ourselves, the only person that could ever help is Jesus. Many of us are desperate to find a solution to our problems, but guys, some of us are just simply looking in the wrong places. I've said this before, it's somewhat comical, but it's so real. Man, we should not invite a 400-pound fat man to be our personal trainer. That's funny, I know. You don't go to an overweight, out-of-shape person to strengthen your physical body. Some of the problems you're facing right now, your friends have never experienced for themselves. They've never walked through it, and many of them are actually even going through the same thing you are. So how are they going to help you? It feels good to have a support system. One of our core values at Real Life, don't get me wrong, one of the core values is that we should engage in Christian community, and that's so powerful. Friends are so important because if you show me your friends, I will show you your future. because you become like the people you hang around. Proverbs says, he who walks with the wise will grow wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And so our friends, they do mean so much to us at times. Their opinions matter the most in influencing our everyday lives. But like this man who brought his son to Jesus' friends, hoping for help, and nothing really happened, we bring our struggles and the pain in our life to people who are powerless to save us sometimes. So even if your friends have good intentions and they want to help you, Jesus, I'm here tonight to tell somebody you're going through something and you've tried and tried and tried to get through it, but you're still in the middle of it. I'm here to tell somebody Jesus is the only solution to the problems you're going to face in this life. This man brought his son to friends of Jesus, and they could not fix the problem. But thank God this discouragement that must have created didn't stop the desperate father from trying to find the answer. So the story goes on in verse 20. It says, so they brought the possessed boy to Jesus. Something crazy happened. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. I imagine the really twisted movies that are coming out right now that you see in the movie theaters where people's necks are that's what I imagine. You got to read scripture like this, y'all. It is alive. It is not boring. It is real. And this spirit caused the boy to begin convulsing. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth, asking. And Jesus probably was kind of shocked, and he stepped back and he said to the boy's father, probably with a lot of compassion, how long has this been happening? How long have you been dealing with this? And scripture says he answered from childhood. And then he gets descriptive. He says, often the spirit has thrown him into fire or water to try to kill him. But Jesus, if you can do anything, will you take pity and help us? And I want you to think for a moment what this family must have experienced dealing with this type of problem. The father said the boy had been dealing with this situation since childhood for a long time. So my guess is there were probably a lot of awkward moments in the house, right? If this happened on a regular basis, it was probably kind of weird to be a sibling in that family, because you're like, I'm just imagining you're watching like The Bachelor, or you're watching America's Got Talent, whatever you're watching right now. I don't even know. You're watching Netflix in one room and somebody's in the kitchen, and all of a sudden everybody's like, somebody's playing Fortnite. And you're just hanging out as a family and everybody's kind of visible to you, and then all of a sudden everything starts going crazy and your brother starts throwing himself into the fireplace trying to kill himself. Like, I can't imagine what it must have been like to deal with a situation like this. Nothing was normal. I can imagine this family probably wasn't accustomed to going out to eat together, because they probably were a little embarrassed. Like, what might happen? People might talk. It might be awkward if we take them to Buffalo Wild Wings and he starts foaming at the mouth. Like, that's not normal. And I can just imagine, you got to sometimes put yourself into scripture. I can imagine that probably if this young man had siblings, they probably didn't invite friends over, because there was probably putty on all the walls where the young man in anger punched through the wall or slammed himself into the wall. So the house was probably in disarray. And my point in describing this is this issue began to change the day-to-day dynamics of this family. I'm sure of it. It had to. This should cause us to soberly reflect on what problems we allow to live and what problems we work to destroy in our own lives. Because real life, this is the truth. If we are not careful, we can allow our struggles and our painful situations to alter the dynamic of our everyday lives. The things that you're dealing with that may seem small, If you allow them to live and grow into something bigger, they will alter how you live your everyday life. The struggles and the problems you're facing right now can have a lasting effect on the quality of your life. In other words, the uncomfortable things that take place in our lives have the power to change the way we live our lives if we let it. Let me give you an example. Some of us are probably like, what are you talking about, Pastor? For example, here's something that has unfortunately hit more than 50% in this room. Divorce hit your family. And divorce hit hard. You didn't expect for your parents to split. You didn't ask for it. In fact, you probably prayed that they would be bonded together in love, that the difficulty, the argument that you heard over and over again, God, would you heal that? And yet, you didn't ask for it, but it happened. And now, because of the problem that is in your life, you used to walk into a room and you were the bubbly life of the party. You had joy. You had strength. You walked with purpose. And now, because you're struggling because of the one circumstance in life you can't control, it's altering the very way you walk in the hallways and in the classroom at school. Because this difficult situation. Maybe you can pinpoint, some of us unfortunately are dealing with anxiety and with depression, and maybe some of us can actually pinpoint the day and the moment your depression took a grip in your life, because it's the day you tried that substance for the first time to try to numb the situations that you have to deal with on a regular basis. And that one decision, that one choice to try to numb life and block things out, you can point to it and say, that's the day that depression took control in my life. What you wanted to use to numb the pain in your life has now become an addiction that, if you're honest with yourself, you secretly hate. Now tonight, I promise you, I'm not trying to pry into your personal life, but I am trying to help you find hope and healing tonight, if I've described you at any way. Maybe there's one more example. Maybe it's how you don't trust people anymore. You keep a front. You keep walls high. You never open up. You never let people into your life. You're always guarded, and it's directly connected to the moment in a previous relationship where your heart was shattered into pieces. See, our struggles and our painful situations, they can and will eventually affect the day-to-day quality of our lives if we allow them to go unhealed. I don't know what you're facing tonight, but the Holy Spirit is helping us realize in this moment that the quality of our lives are being altered because of these situations. And tonight, I hope that many of us in this room, if you're facing anything that is similar to some of the things I've described, or maybe you're facing something that none of us are, I hope that whatever you're facing, Jesus can change everything if we allow him to and if we trust him. Tonight, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet, if you don't mind, as we close. I want to ask that everyone be mindful and quiet. This is a holy moment. The last point I want us to realize from this Bible story is we are the most vulnerable to deny Jesus when life doesn't go the way we expected. We're the most vulnerable to do something we never really intrinsically wanted to do. But we're the most vulnerable to deny Jesus and turn our backs on God and go in a direction that we never intended to go when life hits and we weren't expecting it to hit the way it did. Those times are when we are the most vulnerable. So if you're in that type of situation tonight, I hope that you're on guard. But the story ends with a powerful, powerful ending. In verse 23, it says, Jesus responded, because remember, the man said, hey, if you can, have pity on us and help us. Jesus said, if you can, you don't know who I am, is what Jesus was saying. Everything is possible for him that believes. I want you to hear that loudly and proudly. If you are dealing with something that you think is impossible to deal with, Jesus himself said nothing is impossible. I can do it. I can do all things. We quote that scripture in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But guess what? This is Jesus himself. He didn't even need anybody else. He said, I can do all things because I am the Christ. He said, nothing is impossible for them that believe. And immediately, see the response of this father. The response was, I do believe Jesus, but please help me overcome my unbelief. I believe, but there's parts of me that it's really hard right now. You don't understand Jesus. So I can imagine many of us in this room are probably in that same boat. Yeah, I believe, but God, it's going to take a miracle. And it's hard to believe right now. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow your hearts and bow your heads. Close your eyes with no one looking. This is a personal moment between you and Jesus. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. When this dad said this, what took place in the story is immediately Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and immediately it left the man's son and healing began to take place in their lives. So tonight, the first thing we're going to do is this. If you're in this room tonight and you'd say, Pastor, there have been some things that have happened recently in my life. And it's just like you said, as soon as these circumstances have taken place, I turn my back on the God who loves me, the God who created me, the God who put purpose in my heart, the God who made me like no one else, the God who knows me. But because of life's struggle, because of the circumstances that have been taking place, I took the bait and I turned my back on God. If that's you tonight, and you say, Pastor, I do believe in Jesus. I believe that he's the Son of God. But I need him to help my unbelief because life is hard right now. Maybe you're in this place and you've tried everything you can to deal with the pain, and you haven't tried Jesus yet. I want to tell you, he loves you unconditionally. There is absolutely nothing that you could do that could separate you from the love of God. But tonight, he is calling you, he's drawing you, just like this man's father, this young boy's father was coming to Jesus saying, please help me. He wants you to reach out to him. And if you reach out to him with faith, even if it's got some doubt, even if it's got some fear, and even if it says, you know what, I believe that God can forgive me, but it's sometimes hard to believe that anyone would want to forgive me. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. If that's you tonight, I just want to say a simple prayer. And tonight, Jesus wants to forgive you. He wants to set you free. And he wants to be the Lord and Savior of your life. So right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in this room tonight and you say, I'm far from God. And I need Jesus to help me. I'm in a situation that I can't get out of myself. My friends can't get me out of this. My sin is right in front of me. It's constantly just like the splinter in Pastor Jonathan's finger. My sin is constantly reminding me that I'm a person in need of a Savior. If that's you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you want to accept the love and grace of Jesus, just hold your hand up high so we can pray with you. Thank you, God. Don't miss this moment. Grace and forgiveness. You don't have to walk out of this room with shame. You don't have to walk out of this room with guilt. You don't have to walk out of this room with fear. You can know with confidence that the God of this universe, the creator and lover of your soul, has forgiven you one more opportunity. Anyone else all across this room, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He died on Calvary's cross. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you because he loves you. Anyone else in this last moment? Thank you, God. All right, everyone as a real life family together, loudly and proudly, pray out loud with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for coming to this earth and paying the penalty that I deserved on Calvary's cross. I surrender to you everything, all the guilt, all the shame, all the pain. I give it to you. I don't want to carry it anymore. I've tried to do it myself, but Jesus, I need you. I need you to heal my heart. I need you to forgive me. I need you to love me. I need you to set me free tonight. And Jesus, I give you my life, and I'll serve you from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate? Some people just got set free. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.